We pray. Merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this faith that you have given us. We thank you that we stand redeemed before you simply by your grace and mercy. Lord, as we stand in this beloved spot, we ask that you empower us and strengthen us by your Holy Spirit to go and simply share the story, the gospel story, with the world around us, so that all may come to know your Son, Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. So farming in itself is a slow process, right? You take a seed, you stick it in the ground, and you have to wait a long time for it to grow. Now, the farming life itself is not slow. There's always something to fix. There's always something to maintain and repair as a farmer. But when you think about how long it takes for that seed to grow into a mature plant to where you can actually harvest, it's slow, especially compared to other things in our life that are often very, very fast-paced. But there's a point in farming where things get urgent. It's called harvest. Have you ever driven by a field during harvest, particularly at night? So if you have, you've seen the glow of that John Deere out in that field, well into the dark of the night, still collecting and harvesting that valuable crop. Because here's the thing, if you take a crop and you grow it and you pour all these resources into it and then you leave it out there, corn, soybean, wheat, whatever it may be, if you leave it beyond the point of harvest, what happens to that crop? It dies. And you think about an individual plant, let's just talk about one of thousands of individual plants there, that individual plant is going to wither and die. It's done. There's no do-overs for that individual plant. So the farmer harvests day and night to get that crop to market. Now, I'm guessing our Lord Jesus used this farming metaphor because it was familiar to his disciples, it was familiar to the people, probably even better understood than us in this technology age in which we live in today. Now, Jesus said the harvest was plentiful, the crop was abundant, it was ready to be collected. I hear urgency in his words. I hear Jesus saying, right now, the work is ready right now. Go into the field and pick. It's time to work. But then he immediately follows it with a problem, doesn't he? He says, we don't have enough workers. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There's plenty of work to do. There's just not enough hands and feet to do the work. Now, as I mentioned with the kids, we're obviously not talking about a physical harvest of plants. We're talking about a spiritual harvest of souls. We're talking about the souls of every man, woman, and child walking the earth. What Jesus is basically saying is sin has broken the world. And so now the world is filled with people that don't believe in the one true God, people that don't believe that Christ is Savior. And as a result, they sit condemned to eternal death. That's the harvest. That's the work that needs to be done, bringing lost souls to the truth of the gospel. So there was urgency in getting the gospel to people back when Jesus spoke these words. And there's still urgency today in getting the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to people. See, sin put man at odds with God. You know this. Sin has condemned man, destined for eternal death. And it's clear throughout all the scriptures that this applies to everyone. All have fallen short of God's expectations. When sin entered the world, so did death. Death is unavoidable. Death is going to hit everyone at some point. And the thing about death is no one really knows the date and the time at which it's going to hit. But God does. So let's couple the reality of death with what it says in the scriptures about the last day. The last day when Christ has promised to return to this earth. He's going to have his final judgment where he separates believers from unbelievers. The day and time of that, it's also a mystery. Jesus confirmed this in Matthew's gospel. He said, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. So we see the urgency now, don't we? death, the last day. All people will depart this earth at some point. They will either depart in the faith, destined for eternal life, or they're going to depart outside the faith, destined for eternal death. So here's the question. Is this harvest problem your problem? You and I, as disciples of Jesus, we're redeemed. We're forgiven. We don't have to worry about what's to come. We know eternal life awaits us. So, what do we do when we hear these words from Jesus when he says the harvest is plentiful, but we don't have enough people to do the work? Quite simply, we're called to mirror the life of our Lord Jesus. We're called to mirror the example he set for us. What did Jesus do when he laid his eyes on the harvest? What did it say in the scriptures? It said he had compassion. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. When he saw those lost in darkness and sin, he had compassion for them. Compassion, by generic definition, concern for the sufferings and misfortunes of others. But the compassion that Jesus had wasn't a casual thing for him. No, it cut straight to his heart. It went to his very core. He threw himself completely into the moment, into the situation, giving up his very life to save those lost in darkness. Despite wicked, violent opposition, he remained committed to his mission of compassion to save those lost, to save sinners just like you and me. In his compassion, the text tells us that our Lord Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. So he went everywhere. He talked to everyone. He healed the sick. He attended to their needs. And he proclaimed the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life in him alone. He gave display of his power over life and death. And he proclaimed the gospel. In that last one, he proclaiming the gospel, he set an example for the 12 apostles then and for us today on what we are called to do. We're simply called to point the world to him. We're simply called to point the world to the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life that is found in him alone. And here's the beautiful thing. Jesus gave these instructions and he tells us where to start. He said, pray earnestly. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Pray earnestly that God would provide workers. Now, we could read this or hear this in a sense of pray that God would send other people, right? But remember, he's speaking to the 12 apostles, guys specifically called to do this very laboring task in the harvest. So yes, Jesus is telling them to pray that God would send other people, but also, in a sense, to pray that God would send them. These were ordinary men. They had fears and worries. So Jesus is saying, pray that God would give you strength, would equip you, encourage you, enable you, fortify you, strengthen you to go out into that field and to do this difficult task. Same words for us today. When Jesus spoke these words, the world was filled with people lost in darkness. And still today, as we hear these words through the scriptures, there are still people lost in darkness. And the thing about making disciples, it's often not a bulk thing. It's often a one-on-one thing that occurs, an encounter between two people that trust one another. Yes, we have churches just like this one that are doing beautiful gospel work, that are bringing God's kingdom forward, word and sacrament, in life-changing, wonderful, fruitful ways. But some of the most powerful gospel moments occur when it's just you and another person over God's word in the unseen presence of the Holy Spirit. You simply take God's word and you acknowledge the fact that the Holy Spirit is the one doing the work, and you simply share the story of Jesus, telling about what he's done, what he's doing still today, and what he's promised still to do. Jesus said the harvest was plentiful. There are some 8 billion people in the world today. You and I, we're not going to reach all 8 billion. But what about one? What about reaching just one person at work that comes and shares something about their life? What about reaching just one person at the ball field or in the park that you get to talking to? Or what about sharing the name of Jesus with someone you see in a hospital waiting room that's sitting there anxiously waiting on their loved one to get out of surgery? Or what about sharing the gospel with that neighbor that just happens to be checking the mail at the exact same time as you? Now, I get it can be intimidating, can be difficult, can be awkward. But remember this, you're a baptized child of God. God's Holy Spirit dwells within you. It's God's Holy Spirit that steadies you in those moments, and it's God's Holy Spirit that points you back to those instructions Jesus gave. Do you remember what he said? Pray earnestly. We start with prayer. Prayer calms us. Prayer reassures us. We find peace. Prayer reminds us that God is present, that God changes heart, that God transforms lives, that he is the one doing the heavy lifting in those moments. He just sometimes chooses to use us as the vessels for that work. Now, I saw this firsthand recently, a couple weeks ago, this whole harvest thing. So every Thursday afternoon, I get to go over to the Hope Center and I get to counsel these young fathers who are coming in with an unexpected pregnancy. Most of them are terrified. Their life is in chaos at that point. Now, our goal is to obviously preserve life. But there's also this opportunity to plant gospel seeds in the lives of these young men. So a couple weeks ago, I go every Thursday. So Thursday rolls around, and I'll be honest with you, I was exhausted. Mentally and physically, I was fully and completely spent. I was done. So I looked at my watch at about 11:30, and I took a deep breath, and I was like, I got an hour. It starts at 12:30. And then I actually prayed. I said, Lord, I'm so tired. Please, don't let any guys come in today that I need to talk to. I actually prayed that. Fatigue has a way of breaking you. So what do you think happened? At 1:30 p.m., that app buzzed, and I opened it up. And it said, hey, we have a boyfriend here that just came in with his girlfriend. Do we have a man that can come talk to him? And I knew I was on shift. I also knew I was brain dead. I had little hope of a fruitful conversation with this young man, but I headed over there. And so I walk into the building and I go right to touch the door handle to walk out in the lobby to greet this young man. And I just stopped and I said, Lord, I am so tired. May your Holy Spirit guide this conversation because I can't do it. So I sat down with that young man and I started fumbling through our normal things. Fatherhood, responsibility, marriage, finances, all the free things that are offered, these wonderful things at the Hope Center. I started kind of fumbling through this, and I got to be honest with you, it was a mess. I felt bad for the guy that he had to listen to me just fumble through this mess. The brain was not firing. The lights were barely on. And so we get to what I thought was the end of the conversation. I thought I was about to wrap up. And I hear myself asking him this question. I said, so what part does faith play in your life? And as soon as I said life, in my head, I heard, no, what are you doing? This is way too deep of a conversation for you right now. You're so tired. But there it was. It was on the table. The next 20 minutes were the most Holy Spirit-inspired conversation I have ever had in my entire life. And the most amazing thing about those 20 minutes is it wasn't me doing the spiritual work in that moment. Here's proof. I'm talking to him about Jesus, telling him about God's love. And in the middle of speaking the words in my head, I go completely focused on the conversation in my head that says, whose words are these? You can barely tie your shoes. Who is speaking these eloquent, polished, clear, and concise words about the Lord Jesus? We have to remember that when the Lord sends us out into the harvest, it's the Holy Spirit that is doing the heavy lifting. I assure you, it was not the gifts and skills of Mark Bray in that moment talking to that young man. It was most certainly the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that inspired the first 12 disciples, the same one that was with me at the Hope Center, is the same one that dwells in you, strengthens you, leads you, encourages you to go into that harvest, to do that good work, to just talk about Jesus. The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. May God, by his Holy Spirit, lead us out to this beautiful opportunity to simply talk about Jesus with a world that's lost in darkness. Praise God that we are not lost. Praise God that we have his forgiveness and his assurance that when this life ends, we're going to be with him eternally. And praise God that we have the opportunity every day to lead others to this light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are blessed with this gift of faith. We thank you that day after day you call us to repentance and you restore us and you redeem us and you build us back up by your love and forgiveness. Lord, empower us within the vocations you have given us. Give us strength and confidence and opportunities to simply talk about Jesus, so that those around us may come to the same life-changing, life-altering gospel of your Son. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.